Welcome to this week's episode of Babelfish, the podcast where non-believers share their life stories. In this week's episode, I talk to Eva in Puerto Rico. We talk about separation of church and state. We talk about humanism, science, reason, and populism. I would like to thank my Patreons, Happy and Lena Peterson. Thank you so much for your support. Please give Babelfish a good rating in your podcast app. Please share Babelfish with your family and friends. In order to continue the podcast, I need funding. Remember, you can support Babelfish by becoming a Patreon. Become a Patreon on patreon.com or the Danish equivalent, tenet.dk. You will find the links in the episode description. Just a warning before we start. This week's episode has some background noise. It has affected the quality of the recording. I'm sorry for the inconvenience.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast. I'm now in Puerto Rico talking to Eva from the humanist organization here. Welcome.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be here. Can you present yourself for the audience?
Yes. My name is Eva Quiñones. I was born and raised in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and I'm a humanist, and mm-hmm. I'm the president of the humanist group called Humanistas de Puerto Rico. I've been the president for 4.5 years, mm-hmm. and we do a lot of activism here, a lot of education, some charity work. But our main focus is separation of church and state.
Okay, yeah.
And that is a good thing about humanism. Humanism, we know what the philosophy is, but the philosophy is so ideal for dealing with things that you can focus humanism in a country like, for example, Puerto Rico, to be about separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. And in other countries, it can be about the philosophy and for people to accept it as the best ideas for a personal life. And in other countries, it can be just to combat mm-hmm. other problems. And humanism is perfectly tailored for adapting it to the needs in your community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The needs that you have yourself as a human being that want to have like a worldview that does not require the belief in any gods or saints or to follow particular religions.
Yeah.
And that's why humanism is so perfect.
Yeah. And how did you become a non-believer yourself in the humanist?
Well, I am 53 years old and I went to Catholic school. And when I was about 13, 14 years old, one day I was thinking about this, because my family was not religious. We never went to church or anything. We never prayed. We were a very non-religious family.
Okay.
If we were sent to a Catholic school, because it was a good school in the area, and my parents wanted us to have a good education, and Catholic schools tend to be good in the academic part of education.
Yeah.
So. But one day I decided, you know, I don't believe in reincarnation.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't believe in that. And that took care of a lot of myth and a few religions, mm-hmm. the capacity to come back after you die. So I said, I don't believe it. I didn't have any arguments. But I never saw any proof either. So I just said, I don't believe it. Mm. And that started like a wave of, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in saints. I don't believe in the other thing. And of course, there's the big one. The big question is, do you believe in gods?
Yeah.
And it happened by the time I was maybe 18 years old. I just said, I don't believe in gods either.
Okay, yeah.
In my area, in my spot in the world, in the island, you never talk about that. So this was like a thing that spontaneously happened in my mind. I never had anybody to talk to about this.
Not even if your family was not religious, really?
No, not really. This was a non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talked about religion, really. or if somebody did, it wasn't in a significant way. So it was not an issue. So I never had the need to have a conversation about this with anybody. I go to college. It was never an issue in college. Mm-hmm. And I never had anybody. I never met anybody else that said, I don't believe in gods. I met people that said they believed, but never the other way around.
Okay.
But it was not an issue either because nobody was, it was the mild time in which either I wasn't aware of the public discussion. I was a college student.
Or simply, maybe focusing on other stuff.
Yeah, but also I really think it was not an issue. Not many people were talking about it, and which was fine. Then suddenly this wonderful miracle of the universe happened, the internet. And it is said that the internet is where religion comes to die. And one of the first things I ever searched when I connected in 1998 was, 98, 97, something like that, was about Scientology. Because I had a relative that was grabbed into it, and the wife told him at one point, me or the stupid religion? And she was saying a lot of bad things about Scientology, and they seemed, frankly, creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy. And at one point I said, this is not a religion. This is like an economic cult. And my first search on internet ever was Scientology.
Okay, yeah. You wanted to know what it was all about?
I wanted to read more about it because she was saying very bad things about it, but I wanted to know what was the whole story here. And I decided right away she was absolutely right.
Yeah.
So it came after that, but I have to admit that at some point during college, I heard the word atheist. I had never heard it. I didn't really know what it was. And when somebody maybe explained to me or I read it on the internet afterwards, I said, yeah, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
So, but that was a very trauma-free thing. My family didn't have anything to say or do about it. They didn't care, frankly.
Okay.
But I was like, okay, I'm an atheist. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. Let's have fun. Let's live. But the internet, the issue of religions was really something I was reading through a lot. And I just kept understanding what it was. And then finally I saw the other magic word, humanism.
Yeah.
And it clicked into me because one of the big critiques of people that don't believe in a God is that we don't have a worldview to guide our actions. We don't have like controls to our morality or our ethics. Where do you get that if it's not from God or from religions?
Yeah, and that's why we're sometimes perceived as evil, because we don't have ethics and moral. Yeah,
totally. And also because one of the biggest tragedies in humanity, and I can see it here in Puerto Rico every single day, is that one of the big things is that people, especially in evangelical churches, are told, and in Muslim cults and plenty of others, is that you cannot be good without God. And that is tragic.
Yeah.
That is slander. That is tragic. That is taking a significant chunk of humanity and throwing them under the bus.
Yeah.
Turning them into human trash, into second-class citizens. And so humanism comes in to fill in that gap that some people evidently need. I don't necessarily do, but reading through it, I'm like, this is reasonable. This is something that even religious people can adapt and adopt.
Yeah.
As a worldview. And the emphasis on ethics, which is something objective, we can evaluate in certain ways.
Yeah, we can.
Morality, which is something that for it to be true, morality has to be thought of, argued, debated, and when they're no longer useful, you can discard it easily. You can discard it. But humanism for me just supplied that special philosophy that I could even throw out to Christians that came at me. And I said, I do have a worldview. Mm-hmm. I do have a source of ethics.
Yeah.
I do have a source of the best ideas to live in community and to help others and to live in a world like this. And that is humanism. Mm-hmm. So humanism for me is not only useful ad hoc, you know, for specific situations, but it really does a very good job of informing my worldview, because I am very sciencey. Mm-hmm. I am sciencey, and I, as I understand that humanism has to rely on science specifically as a source of best ideas, because it's based on reason,
yeah.
And reason is one of the pillars of humanism. So science informs also my humanism, and science itself can be a worldview, but it is really a methodology. And it is a methodology I use to evaluate the world and what is good and what is bad. So I have plenty of sources of ethics and morality.
Yeah.
And humanism just takes them all into this single idea, mm-hmm. and makes me go with it and try to do as good as I can for me and for others.
How did you get involved in... Because you discovered humanism at some point. And how did you then become an activist?
Huh. There's always that person that contacts you.
Oh, okay.
And it was also on the internet. It was in 2000 and before 2004, I was like a big administrator, moderator of this internet forum called The Raving Atheist.
Okay.
And we used to meet in the United States and travel to visit each other and the international groups. And I was one of the moderators. Would travel to visit each other, and the British would come over to the U.S.
Oh,
and I would
okay.
go.
Yeah.
So we had a pretty decent group, which I still have friends to this day that we have seen each other. And so that's where I learned about humanism in that forum, and I decided to read more about it. One day in 2004, about March, mm-hmm. like a few months earlier, I had seen like a Puerto Rican page talking about non-believers, and it was asking, leave your name and address here. And I did, and a few months after that, like in about March of 2004, the guy calls me. Hey, I saw your, I'm the owner of this page, and it was a reason and skepticism page of Puerto Ricans. And I saw your information, I'm calling you because I have this debate in 2 nights with a Dutch priest in a university. And I'm alone, I don't know anybody else. Can you come? And be there with me.
Yeah.
And I was pregnant. I had the huge belly. And I was like, yes. And that's where I realized that pregnant women that are atheists are horrifying to many people. Mm. Because it's like double evil. So I sat down and I did the debate with him. First time I had debated really in public with a Catholic, a very experienced Catholic. Very old. Mm. He died about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, okay.
And this very quaint, tiny, dainty little Dutch man with the big white flowing hair, very sweet. Mm-hmm. Very sweet. And he was actually super likable.
Okay,
super likable. So when you're debating somebody likable that looks like a gnome, like a little elf, you have to be careful. I learned it that day. Mm-hmm. So after that, it just seemed to happen. A few months later, the guy called me again. I said, I have a group that's taking shape. Come. So I was one of the founding members in 2011 of Humanistas de Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was not the first president, but we run elections and we vote for the board. And in 2015, I was voted as president of the group. And I just keep getting reelected. Yes, I know a lot about this. I have a quick mind. I'm not very judgmental. I know humanism. I read about it. But also I have the time.
Yeah, okay.
And there's time availability.
Time is of the essence. And because it takes a lot of time.
And that's a good reason, because I'm just a face that's available 24/7.
Yeah.
I have the means and the way to be available.
Yeah.
So I am. And I'm sure other people can also do an awesome job at it. Mm. And I'm looking forward to the day where somebody else can take the position. Yeah. I would be honored to step down as much as it was an honor to step in.
Okay, yeah.
And I will be forever a humanist, because it makes sense in such a positive way. And even though our main focus here is separation of church and state, I still talk about humanism.
Yeah.
I still talk about non-believing, about atheism. Mm-hmm. Because I think that your ideas inform your actions. So I still think it's better at the end of the day to not have the God beliefs. I still find it superior, even though I still think that religious people can be absolutely moral and ethical.
Yeah.
And really the best examples of what a good human is. But I still think that atheism and humanism give us an edge. Because living a reality-based life and believing in a reality-based life, he still has to be good for something. And I think it's slightly more useful.
Yeah. What are the challenges here in Puerto Rico?
Well, it's a very weird situation, because Puerto Rico is a colony of the U.S.
Yeah.
And even though the United States is like the first country to include something about church and state in its founding constitution, Puerto Rico, as a colony, when we were allowed by law to make our own constitution, one of the rules of the constitutions of every state is that they have to be in conformity with the federal constitution. So okay. There's some patterns that you have to follow. You cannot have a state constitution in any state that goes against something in the federal constitution. Mm-hmm. So Puerto Rico is the same idea. So in Puerto Rico, the constitution, if in one of its more prime top of the list orders is that there, it says there shall be freedom of religion.
Yeah.
And the next line is, there shall be complete separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. After that, in the Bill of Rights, it includes education. And in education, one of the main tenets of the education, public education in Puerto Rico is, it shall be non-sectarian, and it shall not discriminate for a whole bunch of reasons. The ones we expect.
Yeah, the usual ones.
And also it says, it shall not discriminate against anybody because of religion.
Yeah.
So the religion part is mentioned in our constitution in very obvious ways. And I think very clearly, complete only means complete. Mm-hmm. Complete does not mean halfway.
No.
Or a little bit. Or mostly.
But what, and what's reality?
The reality is that the government has been contaminated by people that are convinced that they're better off and they get more votes if they promote that they're Christian, usually evangelical or okay. Pentecostal of some sort, and that they rub elbows constantly with the most regressive churches in Puerto Rico. And it has turned into a veritable political monster. Mm-hmm. And it is populism at its worst. A few years ago, we had a governor candidate that met constantly with evangelical preachers of the worst kind, because some are great, but these were the worst ones, like the theocratic ones. And they signed what I call a concordat of that the candidate, if elected, was going to do this and this and this and this, which was a list of reduction of human rights.
Okay.
And the promotion of religious ideas as part of legislation, which is totally against what our constitution says. So he made a bunch of mistakes, and for the first time ever, he was made to quit last summer.
Okay, yeah.
And I also had the chance to tell the previous governor, that he was too tight with the Catholic bishop.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. He said, but bishop is my friend. And I said, you can have all the friends you want, but you have to protect your reputation against, to not give the impression that you're doing anything improper. You have to protect yourself against the appearance of impropriety.
Yeah.
And this tightness with the bishop can give that impression.
Yeah, exactly.
And he can be your friend, but you have to think of your position now. You have a special duty to not show that you are partial, especially in something as important as this. Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, of course. And he's not the governor anymore. But now we have a governor that was not elected, that just simply came into power because it was in the line of succession because the previous governor quit. And originally, she really was trying to give the impression that she wasn't going to be overtly theocratic. But even previous enemies of her in the same political party are really trying to promote her as a religiously mandated governor.
Catholic,
that she,
or evangelical?
Evangelicals, okay. Usually.
Yeah.
And that she's there, and she actually said herself this weekend on Saturday in a big prayer meeting in front of the Capitol of the House of Law that she was there in that position thanks to God.
Oh.
And then allowed this big preacher, the kind of preacher that has private jets, to preach with her and to say, the whole island prays for God and for the governor. And it just sounded so primitive to me.
How
so
many
repressive.
Are religious in Puerto Rico?
There's no specific numbers, but
okay.
The Pew people, the research people, they give numbers that range from 89% to 97%. And that may be the case. However,
and it's Catholic and Evangelical, or
it about mainly? It would be about 50-50 at least.
Yeah.
Catholic and Evangelicals, although I have reasons to believe it's more Evangelicals now. And because the pedophile cases have also damaged the reputation of the Catholic Church,
yes,
here
of course.
In Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it has everywhere. Yeah.
And with reason, because one of the dioceses was protecting Catholic priests, and they had some kind of success in protecting the identities of those Catholic priests. But the thing is that it is very disrespectful of citizens if all I mostly tell you is that you have to believe in me because I'm a Christian, so you will assume I'm going to do a good job. And it's very different that the person that wants to run again to be governor and duly elected, the person can just say, listen, I want you to vote with me because I have this idea, this idea, this idea. I have done this and this and this, and I plan to do this, and I have this people that are helping me, and these are the best ideas they're giving me, and I think they're good because of this and this and this. Or, as I call it, reason.
Yeah.
Critical thinking. These are my ideas. This is how I'm supporting them. This is what I plan to do. Vote for me if you agree.
But do you have to be religious to get voted into parliament?
Yes.
Okay.
Or at least you have to claim it. Because for the first time in my memory, a candidate for governor, an independent candidate for governor for the past elections, and in 2016. Like 2 days before the election, she did an interview and she was asked. Mm-hmm. And she said, yes, I'm an atheist. And all hell broke loose.
Oh.
And I called the radio stations and I did the interviews. Please, she only said she was an atheist. She hasn't shown you that she's a bad person. How can you be so against her just because of this when last week you were like, wow, this woman has good ideas. Mm-hmm. So the ideas are bad all of a sudden because she doesn't claim to believe in a God? Come on, let's be mature.
Yeah.
Let's grow up as political entities and voters and citizens of a country that's supposed to pride itself in how good it is.
Yeah.
So it was a huge mess. And there is still a lot of talk about it. But I am glad she did, even if it did lose her some votes.
Yeah.
Not too many.
Okay.
I'm glad to report not too many. She still got quite the amount of votes. She has now been able to force to create a party. And the party has Christians, mm-hmm. but it also has a lot of people that are atheists.
So it's a mixed party, yeah.
And it's a non-issue the way it should be. It should be a non-issue.
So she actually put it on the agenda.
She hasn't dared to do it specifically.
No.
But she talks of inclusiveness in terms that also include the word religious inclusiveness. And I think in one of her positions, she has actually spoken about protecting separation. And that sounds like a great idea. And even religious parties can talk about separation.
Of course.
Because when yeah. politicians use religion to get votes and to make bad politics, the Christians, and I get this all day long, Christians say, I hate it when politicians use my religion to do stupid politics, for stupid populism. I value my religion too much for them to use it that they reduce its value. They make it soiled and dirty. And even if they believe the same the same religious ideas, a lot of Christians are like starting to talk about.
Because it's misuse.
It is. And it lowers the value of the faith that you may have or not have.
Yeah.
And a lot of Christians are starting to complain reasonably. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear it. And maybe that's the beginning of some growing up.
Yeah. Is Puerto Rico changing? Are people becoming more or less religious?
Absolutely religious. And in great measure, it has to be because young people tend to be less religious because of internet, for one. And two, that they're braver in the sense of they can speak out.
Okay.
And they're a little bit braver when asking questions. And I can Google that. Let me Google that. Mm-hmm. And there's information, there's good videos, and there's a lot of good atheists and humanists and non-believing material that's easily accessible to anybody. And I am convinced that young people are being heavily influenced by it. And even if they believe or don't believe, I see that they're questioning religions in ways that can only be positive.
Yeah, and they can search for their own information due to the internet and not just listen to what everybody else is saying.
And some are even Christian and they say, but I'm not going to go to any church because what they're saying is stupid or hateful. Mm-hmm. And one of the big ones here is that you see a lot of Christian kids saying, I stopped going to my church because they are so anti-gay.
Yeah. Yeah. I could imagine that. Also the climate changes and anti-gay.
They don't talk much about climate change here.
Okay.
But the gay thing, it's easy.
Yeah.
And the abortion. Like, there's kids saying, you know, there's many good reasons for the woman to own her own body that have nothing to do with religion.
Yeah.
And they hear sometimes very vicious sermons, and it puts them off religion and going to church. And some pastors really are doing the job for us when they're too hateful.
Okay.
Because when they're too hateful, people really down here, when they listen, they go like, oh.
Take it easy.
You know, this could not be a good idea. It's impossible for this idea to be good.
Yeah.
So people in odd ways are driven or drawn to humanist ideas, even if they don't know it.
Okay.
Because humanism is like that. It can draw people in just because of the good ideas it promotes that do not require faith.
Yeah.
And there's even religious humanists. I have one of my closest and dearest friends and intellectuals is a universalist humanist.
Okay.
And if you ask him if he believes in a God, he says no. Mm. Or miracles. No, he does not. But he decides to call nature God in very symbolic ways, not in any.
Okay. Yeah.
It's nothing religious really about it. But he just likes the universalist community that he goes to, that it's mostly very non-theistic.
Yeah.
And he just likes that. And that's he feels that whole in that manner.
Yeah.
And that is the big thing about religions, too. You meet every week.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of friends. Maybe they don't like you a lot, but they're your friends.
You have friends. You have a community.
You have a community. Yeah.
Which is important for everybody.
And it's very important. The thing is that free thinkers tend to be like it's hard to put them in a community and to get this kind of personal commitment from them, which is why the work that we do can be so touch and go in some spheres. But because we have to call individuals, help me, help me, help me. We're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. And religions can just call a radio station and get free spots or free announcements of their activities. And it's much harder for us. And but we are a voice. We have a secular unity.
Yeah.
We do have a presence in media, massive presence.
Yeah. So you're known now.
But kinda, yeah.
Okay.
And hopefully, and from what I hear, I give the good information.
That's good.
I'm not preachy. I don't darken, or I don't speak badly of religions or of belief. I can talk openly at how I don't think they're the best ideas and why. But at the end of the day, people can believe what they want. I don't care.
Yeah. I think that's the right approach.
And especially in Puerto Rico, all I care about is separation of church and state.
Yeah.
And this is going to... this impending theocracy is going to doom us in more ways than the obvious ones. We don't need little sheep. We need citizens that do, that question, that ask of others, of themselves. And we need to focus on in what we need to do to make this island flourish, because we're bankrupt right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a lot of challenges here.
And the hurricanes and the earthquakes and all that.
Yeah.
But technological problems have technological solutions. Mm-hmm. Governmental problems usually have brave long-term solutions, which is the opposite of populism.
Yeah.
Like, politicians have to mature. Political parties have to really step back and say, what is more important, the citizens or the preservation of my party?
Yeah.
And our salaries and the capacity I have to use the island's monies to give contracts for services we don't need to friends, or even worse, give contracts to churches to preach in government offices or in schools, which is bizarre. How can that be? But it's nasty populism. And it has been said that if the politician carries the cross, he also carries the money bag.
Yeah.
And... We need robust ideas that moves the island forward, and that humanism should, could, is perhaps the best source of the foundations to make that happen in a way that's dignifying, respectful of all the citizens, and really wants to do good. And it's very challenging, but at least the message is going out.
Okay, that sounds good. But thank you, Eva, for talking to me. It's been a pleasure.
It is my pleasure, Kirsten, and I really hope to visit Denmark really soon, and to see you again super very soon.
I hope so too.
And it's been wonderful. And
thank you for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you for giving me the honor of hosting.
Thank you for listening. In order to continue the podcast, I need funding. Remember, you can support Babelfish by becoming a Patreon. You can also follow Babelfish on Facebook and Instagram. You'll find the links in the episode description. Until next time, be a happy human.